Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Ones who I always see, nice to see you guys. And the ones that may be new to this church or visiting, we welcome you to our church. Just to follow up on what Pastor Andy was talking about, I'm going to read what is on our website when it comes to our first stone, as you would say, and it's the Word. So again, you can find this on our website, all 12 stones. I encourage you to read it. It encouraged me. This is the foundation of our church. So I'm just going to leave it at that. So God is building his church for his purpose and his patterns as found in the Holy Scriptures. The Word is our pattern and blueprint for every ministry, and we are careful to build according to the Scriptures. We choose to follow conventional theology and interpretation of Scripture, believing that God's ultimate plan for redemption is to be worked out through the church, a people made up of every tribe, tongue, and nationality. We will help believers build their personal lives, relationships, marriages, families, finances, and businesses on the solid rock of God's Word by encouraging active faith and obedience, and by using every means possible to communicate the Word of God. We desire to avoid ministry trends that may subtly lead us away from the fundamental tenets of Scripture. All of our decisions will be carefully founded on the principles of Scripture. So that's what Cloverdale Church believes the Word. So I'm going to, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? That's better the better question. But I believe there as... You need to hear that what we build on at this church is on the rock. You know the scripture. I wrote it down. I just felt to write it down before I get going. I deleted it. Even better. But you can build on the rock or you can build in the sand. And as you know, as the waves come, and as you've been to the if you've been to the beach, when the waves come and you're building on the sand, by the time you know it, it's all gone. But when you build on the rock, the rock is stable, it gives stability, and there's strength. And I know this church builds on the rock. So in this church, there's stability, there's strength, and we are guided by the Lord. So I'm going to read a scripture over you, one that most of you have heard before. It's Psalm chapter 1, or Psalms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So I'm just going to quickly pray just for me personally. So Father, I ask you just you give me peace, Father, that my words will be yours. And Father, that the words that are spoken will fall on good ground in Jesus' name. So, we're talking about the Word today, and I'm not going to take overly long, but my relationship with the Word, with Jesus, more so with the Word, is that it's almost sometimes I get into this pattern, and I know a lot of people get into this pattern, New Year's resolution pattern. So New Year comes, or it's like, okay, new month, and I'm going to be in the Word every day at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I do good for like a week, right? And it's like when you get that resolution to get into good shape. You're at the gym every day, and after a while, that membership pass that you have, it's collecting dust. And unfortunately, in the same way, over my life, I'm just going to be honest with you, and I know people can relate to this, is that we have that same pattern with the Word. And we hear all these other words, and we hear this, that, and the other, but then the Word just starts collecting dust on our shelf. And obviously, that's not the Lord, but what the Lord wants out of us. He says we are blessed as we receive the Word. I spoke briefly last week, and I spoke about Job. And if you know the story of Job, in the first chapter, everything was taken away. He was a prosperous man. He was well-known in the region. But everything was taken away. His family, all the animals he had was taken away. And what I found really hit me hard in this time, and in any time, is his response to the Lord. And he, as man, we could just turn away and say, well, I don't want anything to do with you, Lord, and just go to other means to feel satisfied. But Job turned to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord. And as Pastor Christine spoke earlier today, it's the same thing with the Word. This is not the time to turn away from the Lord, but it's the time to engage with the Word. And what does the Lord have for you specifically in this time? He has something for the church. I know that. But I know he has something for you personally in your own walks with the Lord. So, quickly, it says his delight is in the law of the Lord. So the law means, in this scripture, it means teaching, instruction, or direction. So we delight, or he delights, in the teaching, or in the instruction, or in the direction of the Lord. And what does delighting mean? I mean, delight, I think about my wedding day. And even to this day, I think about just looking at my wife. And I just delight in her. Like, she's my everything. I love her. She bends over backwards for me. And I know not all of you are married here, so it's like, well, I can't relate to that, so. But then I think about food. And I know there's many things that you can delight in, but I love delighting in ribs. I just love ribs. Like a couple weeks ago, Pastor Rand, they had ribs at their house, and I went over to get something from the house, and I saw the ribs on the table. I'm like, hey, like, how about me? And I just kind of put it in his ear, and then he texts me later, oh, come over, yeah, you can grab some ribs. And I literally got home. My wife, Amanda's there, Keziah and Ezra are all in the house. And I just kind of tuned everyone out, put the ribs on the table, got my napkin, and like, I do care about everyone, but I could care less about anyone in that moment. Like, my mouth is just full of, like, just, oh yeah, like, so good. My hands, like, I could care less what anyone thought. But why I say all that is to relate us to the Word. It's like, sometimes you shouldn't even care about what. You just got to be just you in the Word, and that's you delighting in it, and the Lord will speak to you as you spend time in the Word. And I know sometimes it's like, oh, I don't hear anything, I don't feel anything, but the Lord knows and he sees. And if we were just going off just total emotion as we read in the Word, it's not going to work well. But as we go to the Lord in relationship with him, knowing that when we go to him, he has something for us. Like when I'm with my wife, I mean, she may not want to kiss me all the time, but I kiss her anyways, because that's my wife. Like, I've made a covenant promise with her. That's what we do. We love each other, right? I made a covenant promise with the Lord that I'm in relationship with him, and the Word is going to guide me every step of the way. And then secondly, it's meditating day and night. So I want this to be somewhat practical for everyone. In our church is the practice that I've put in is that I read my Word at nighttime. So before I go to sleep, I read the Word. It may not be like this hour-long time with the Lord, but it's like half an hour with the Lord, and I just read it. And I believe in the Hebrew culture, is that correct? Yeah, in the Hebrew culture, Pastor Randy knows a lot more than I do, and you can ask him about it, but I know this is true. In the Hebrew culture, that's the norm. Like, the morning starts when the sun sets, I believe. Yes, nice. Thank you. Yeah, the day starts. So instead of starting the day in the morning where it's like rush, 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 I found for myself, and I encourage you as well, to read the Word before you go to sleep. And so when you wake up, you're blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for this new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that's how I like to wake up. Yeah. I think, and I'm not going to go much longer, but there is the picture of being a tree. And then there's a picture of a chaff in the scripture. Now, the chaff, from what I understand, it's like what the hamsters use, like on the, like for their houses, like the bedding. Thank you. And if you just blow it, it just goes away. And where the Lord is, or David is, relating or comparing. Thank you, whoever said that. Bless you. Blessing the chaff to the tree. Now, the wind is going to come. Christian or not, the wind will come. Right? The wind comes. Now, my heart is, when that wind comes, because it will come, that we will not just be blown away like the chaff, but we will be rooted like that tree by the water. And that's all I really have to say. And I'm sticking to it. And I'm just going to read Psalms 119 over you. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So Jesus, we bless you for this church. Father, I pray that this will be a church, that this will be a people that rest in your word, that are led by your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Very good. Well done. The nice thing about a tag team preach is that you get to stand every 10 or 15 minutes, you know, so you don't get that tired bum stuff, you know. So would you welcome with me the next speaker, Shad Blackadder. Oh, it's going to be, oh, sorry, my bad. They've rearranged. So this is Andrew Hawthorne. Yeah.
Morning. I'm going to grab the stool. It looked really comfortable when Josh did this, so I'm going to try it out.
He had a more comfortable stool. There's a white one at the back. That does sound more comfortable.
No, I don't have to take your stool. You take that stool. I'll go with this one. We'll try that one next time. All right. So, this is good. I like this. This is way better sitting down. Okay. So I brought my two favorite Bibles to show you. So this is my fancy one. About a year ago, some friends of mine decided to ambush me in a wonderful word over at Langley Vineyard when Murray Duick had a conference on. And right before that happened, in some time with the Lord, he was like, "You should probably get yourself a serious sword." And I was like, "Well, what does that mean? Do you want me to get a real sword?" And he kind of laughed at me. So I knew this is what he meant. So I got myself a serious one. It's like actual leather. It smells good, right? So it's good. I love it. And this is my other favorite one. This is the Jesus Storybook Bible, for those of you who have never seen it. So, yeah, this book makes me cry a lot. So bear with me if we don't get through this without some leaking. Face might leak a lot. So, I took some notes. Let me get my notes ready. Okay. So, the first thing I want to start with is just thanking the Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness and faithfulness. Thank you that you're always with us, even when everything seems just crazy. You're so good. So this is life. This gets you through everything. Absolutely everything. It's, oh man. This isn't a chore. And if it ever feels like a chore, just ask God for the grace that it would be a delight. Like this is, I started the McShane reading plan. It's a 1-year reading plan that I started 3 years ago. I am about 70% through it. Grace is good. So even in that, it was a fun conversation that I've been having with Jesus where, you know, there's times where I'll be like, oh, man, I can't keep up. And he'll be like, well, why are you beating yourself up about it? It's not the point. I'm like, oh, that's true. Thanks. and then, oh, you know, I like to spend time in Psalms whenever I'm feeling upset, uncertain. Psalms are awesome. Praying psalms over yourself, it's amazing. Jesus will always meet you there. It's where I find peace. I find comfort. Oh, all the time. Stefan read Psalm 119 to you, or parts of it, because it's really big. When he said, I'm going to read Psalm 119, I thought, oh, we'll be here a while. Yeah, it's huge. But some of the takeaways, I mean, are Psalm 119:11 is, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. 89, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 114, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. It's fun to remember, too, that Jesus is the word. So in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. It's a big deal. So it's not like, this is the other fun thing to remember, it's not like God wrote a book and lost his voice, right? It's always important to remember this. He loves you, he wants to talk with you about things. And when you're in these moments of turmoil, it's an invitation into a conversation, into a relationship. It's not to sit there and go, oh, why is this happening? This is terrible. About 2 years ago, we were living in a place in Murrayville. So this is the story time. And our landlords, they were great people. They had some horrible stuff happen in their family. They needed the suite. So they gave us 3 months to find a place. Which was, you know, we were like, yeah, we totally understand your situation. We would kick us out too. Absolutely. And so we started trying to find a place. And we'd call places and they'd say, oh, you know, yeah, that's great. You have great references. Do you have kids? Yeah, we do. We have 2 kids. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're looking for a professional couple. So, you know, this happens once. You're like, oh, okay, I understand. No problem. And after about the fifth time, it's pretty disheartening. And after about 2 months of looking, there was about a month left, saying, God, where are we going to go? And the weight that I had on me was, Lord, where am I going to put my family? Now, I have great family that lives near us too, so there was never a thing like, we'll be destitute. But there's still, you know, there's the fear swirling in my head all around me going, well, what if this? What if that? What's going to happen? And I had a great conversation with Josh at Boston Pizza around that time, and he was like, you're spiraling. You need to stop it. And it just sort of smacked me, and I was like, well, you're right. I do need to stop. And what was fun is at that time is when we got the Jesus Storybook Bible. And the first story that I read out of this to Liam when he was just a wee boy is called The Captain of the Storm. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it to you because this is my favorite translation of it. It's the one that makes my face leak. I wish I had pictures to share with you because the artwork in here is really great too. But since I don't, if you want to, shut your eyes and I'm going to read you a story. The sun was going down. The air was warm and still. Let's go across the lake, Jesus said to his friends. Jesus had been helping people all day and now he was tired. So they left the crowds at the shore and set out in a small fishing boat. Jesus climbed into the boat to take a nap. As soon as his head touched the pillow, he fell fast asleep. It was a beautiful evening. A gentle breeze rustled the sails. The friends were chatting happily as they headed out into the middle of the lake. Everything was perfect. Just right for a nice, quiet sail. They were only about halfway across when out of nowhere, whirling winds swept across the lake, fierce and strong, like a hurricane. A blinding flash of lightning lit up the sky. Thunder roared right overhead. The storm blew the water into towering waves that hurled the little boat up, 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 then sent it hurtling, crashing back down, down, down. The fishing boat was blown and buffeted and tossed and turned, back and forth, up and down, left and right, round and round. And in the middle of the storm, Jesus was sleeping. Now, Jesus' friends had been fishermen all their lives, but in all their years fishing on this lake, they had never once seen a storm like this one. No matter how hard they struggled with the ropes and the sails, they couldn't control the boat. The storm was too big for them. But the storm wasn't too big for Jesus. Help, they screamed. Wake up, quick, Jesus. Jesus opened his eyes. Rescue us, save us, they shrieked. Don't you care? Of course Jesus cared. This was the very reason he had come, to rescue them and to save them. Jesus stood up and spoke to the storm. Hush, he said. That's all. And the strangest thing happened. The wind and the waves recognized Jesus' voice. They had heard it before, of course. It was the same voice that made them in the very beginning. They listened to Jesus, and they did what he said. Immediately, the wind stopped. The water calmed down. It glittered innocently in the moonlight and lapped quietly against the side of the boat as if nothing had happened. The little boat bobbed gently up and down. There was a deep stillness and a great quiet all around. Then Jesus turned to his wind-torn friends. Why were you scared? Asked. Did you forget who I am? Did you believe your fears instead of me? Jesus' friends were quiet as the wind and the waves, and into their hearts came a different kind of storm. What kind of man is this? They asked themselves anxiously. Even the wind and the waves obey him, they said, because they didn't understand. They didn't realize yet that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus' friends had been so afraid. They had only seen the big waves. They'd forgotten that if Jesus was with them, they had nothing to be afraid of, no matter how small the boat or how big the storm. So that story kills me every time. I love remembering that Jesus got in the boat. He's there. He took a nap. And I find myself even, you know, there's so many times still where I'm like, where are you, Jesus? What are you doing? And the picture I get of him a lot these days is just looking at me like, doing my thing. But I should trust in him. I can't, there's nothing I can do except for what he asks me to do. And it's always such an encouragement to remember that Jesus is always there. Everything that we're going through, individually, together, whatever it is. And it's when we spend our time here that it's a lot easier to remember and not get to that point where we're going, Jesus, where are you? Don't you care? Find peace in him. Spend time with him daily. And when the waves rise up, you'll say, it's those waves. Jesus has this. So, Lord, I ask that you'd bless us. Bless us with your voice. Bless us with your peace and grace. Help us stay close to you and remember that no matter how big the waves or how small the boat, that you're always with us. You bless your people. Yes. Amen.
Very good. Do you want that? No? So, two good ones, and we'll see what's happening with the third. Chad is a lot of fun. This is Chad Blackadder.
Good morning. It's just briefly before I start, I want to just kind of go over what we're doing tonight at the meeting that Pastor Randy announced. So there's a lot of questions, a lot of confusion, a lot of pain, like, going around right now, and we want to address that. And so essentially what we're going to do is we're going to have a bit of open discussion where our hope is to create a safe place for people to grieve and people to ask questions. And our heart is to is for the truth to come out and whatever Jesus wants to do in that. So it's important that you guys have that place to grieve, that you don't feel that you don't have a safe place to do that. And then we're gonna limit it, because I think we could, you know, talk for hours and hours, but I think we're gonna do it, give it some time, and then we're just gonna press into Jesus and just worship, because that's what the body of Christ is. You know, we are all have one love and one goal ultimately, and so we just wanna see where Jesus is right now in this time. Does that sound good? So I urge you to be there. I think it'll be really good. It's at 7 here. So, anyways, I'm just gonna pray really quick. Jesus, we thank you that you are good, and that you are with us in the good times, the sunny days, and in the storms. And we just trust you, Lord. Would you, as Amanda was singing, like, we believe, help our unbelief, that you are good and that you work all things out for the good of those who love you. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this space, into the words that I speak. Would it be for your glory and for the love of your bride? In Jesus' name. As you guys know, we're talking about the Word today. And so as I was preparing, I went to Luke chapter 4. And most of you probably know what that is, but it's where Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and is tempted by Satan, you know, in that time. So I'm just going to read it if you want to join me, Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they ended, he was hungry. So something that I find really important in that is that it's like, who believes that we're in a wilderness right now? Yeah. And the Lord, so Jesus went into the wilderness, and it wasn't Satan who led him there. He didn't just stumble in there. The Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. And so whatever's going on here, God's leading us into it. So any darkness that has been exposed, you know, any pain, God's exposing it for his glory, right? And so I think that's important. So Jesus goes into the wilderness and he has nothing. He has nothing, right? Like, he has no food, no friends, no shelter that we know of. I mean, maybe he dug a burrow out or something, I don't know, but he has nothing and he has everything. And so I think what that highlights to me is that you strip all else away, he has everything that he needs. And so he's in this place of just extreme discomfort and pain, I'm sure. And to me, it seems that Satan tempts him in three areas: physical desires, integrity and depth of character, and pride. And so I'm just going to kind of unpack those. So physical desires. He hasn't eaten anything for 40 days. And Satan goes, turn this bread this rock into bread. You're God. Like, how hard would that be? And so I don't know about you, but if I haven't eaten like 4 hours, I'm in bad shape, right? So 40 days is like, bread sounds pretty good. You know, I like bread. Like, it's one of my favorites anyway. So, but what does he do? He goes to the Word. He said, man shall not live on bread alone. Then he goes, okay. And he tests him on his integrity and his depth of character. And he goes, it's not like, hey, Jesus, if you worship me, I'll give you $50. No, it's like, I'll give you all of these kingdoms. Like, it'd be like, hey, I'm going to make you the supreme dictator of North America. And you can have all the money, all the resources, anything you want. It's yours. So it's like, most of us could be like, oh, no, $100 isn't worth it. Right? But, you know, all the kingdoms, that'll make you think, right? And it's interesting, you know, sometimes I think that my character's pretty awesome until it's not. So I think I'm doing pretty awesome, and then I'm not, and then I fail. And it's in those times that the Lord shows me something in me that I need to work on. And that's important. I think the conviction of the Holy Spirit in those moments where the ugly side of me shows up is some of the best, you know, learning times for me. You know, and so if you feel that conviction, that's a good thing. That's God working on you, the refiner's fire. And then the third one is pride. Now this one isn't one that I struggle with personally, but I know people who do. Just kidding. Well, maybe once or twice if I'm like in, you know, like a sport or something. But no, this one's probably my hardest one. And you know, I think, you know, it's like just to have a lot of pride, and the Lord keeps letting me fall on my face and stripping some of that pride away slowly. And so, it's going to be a lifelong process, but that's okay, because it makes me look more like Jesus when I choose humility, and that's what I want. And so, and even in that, so he goes to pride, and what does he do again? He goes back to the Word. Each time, he goes back to the Word. And even in that moment, Satan uses the Word. He takes the Scriptures out of context and uses them against Jesus, and Jesus does. He doesn't argue with him. He doesn't go, oh, no, you took that out of context. He just goes back to the Word. It says, should not test the Lord your God. And that's it. And so at the end of it, Satan goes, gave it everything I got, and Jesus withstood. And so using that scripture, it just makes it very clear that the Word is our compass. We need to focus. You know, if we want to understand like how to walk through this, let's go to the Word. The Word has lots to say on lots of things, but this situation, the Word will speak. It's our manual. It is the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16-17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Who needs that? I need that. You know, a funny thing about that scripture is when I was preparing, I memorized this verse in like grade 6 or 7 at a church camp. Not because I was like extra holy or anything, but because I got some accolades at the end if I memorized the most scriptures and maybe a prize. You know, so like the wrong reasons, really. And then, like, it came back to me. And I didn't have the whole thing. I couldn't, like, quote the whole thing to you, but I knew enough that I could go find it. It's just kind of an interesting story, something I learned, whatever, 20 years ago, came back to me. And so anyways, with that, all that being said, I'm just using that to just go, the Word is our compass. And the scripture that God keeps showing me in this time is Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Sometimes it's labeled marks of a true Christian. And so it just goes, you want to know what a true Christian looks like? This is it. So I'm going to read it once, and then I'm going to stop, and then we'll read it again. So Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So I think, man, if we can just meditate on this scripture, we'll be set. If this is our posture, we'll be set. So I'm going to read it again. And if you want, if you feel, to close your eyes and just let it sink in. And just hear the words that the Lord is speaking to you through this scripture. Okay. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.